What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Migs Cast. I am Steve Migs here with the Reverend Fuego.
Good day.
Glenn Cannon.
Yes.
Yes. I was a little nervous. I was like, I hope my voice can hold up because it was shot yesterday.
Yeah.
It's better today.
What did you do to your voice?
Friday night, I emceed Defy Wrestling. So I did the ring announcing. It was the 3-year anniversary show. It was like the most sold out I've ever seen it. It's always crazy, but it's like, it's even more sold out.
So you're like howling
yeah,
on
like,
a mic.
And sometimes, like, the sound guy's great, but like, sometimes at first, he doesn't have the volume bumped up high enough because you're not ready for this loud screaming crowd, and I'm amped, and then I can't hear myself, so I talk louder,
right?
Like to create my own in-ear monitors, which I don't have.
Yeah,
and when you sing,
I really do.
And you push so hard that you like, I just blew my voice out on the first introduction,
mm-hmm.
and then it was just a matter of like throat coat, and I have these things. I don't know if you ever tried them called Vocal Zone. They're like a lozenge.
They make
amazing.
A thing called Vocal Ease that basically
sounds about the same thing.
Yeah, it's essentially I think it's loaded with aloe of all things, but it gets in there and tries to coat and heal your fried vocal cords.
And typically this stuff works like one time I did 2 days in a row of ring announcing, and then I was so messed up like Friday, Saturday. So the last time they had two nights
in a row.
What a
great match. Hey, everyone.
That's how it was.
I mean, you make some noise.
Night two was that. I'll have to find the audio, but it's just like first intro. I'm like, I blew my voice out last night.
Sorry, guys.
But then I was like, I have to figure this out. And I saw somebody post about this Vocal Zone stuff because I used Throat Coat, but it was like beyond Throat Coat's help.
I want to get like the Stephen Hawking thing. So he has like a keypad out there. Steve just stands there and types, you know? Hey, everyone, make some noise. Let me hear it.
Get loud, defiance.
You guys
Please
are crazy.
So
I am not a robot.
I found this stuff called Vocal Zone. I ordered on Amazon.
Vocal
took forever
zone.
To get there.
Get
but I Vocal Zone.
I've just been thinking the whole time.
Dude, I was crushing that Vocal Zone all night, and it worked great. So I think I got a little too cocky this last time. And I was like, I was still using it, but I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll be fine. I can really push myself. And I pushed myself to the point where I blew my voice out.
Push it real good.
So, yesterday was a struggle on the air.
It was really rough. I thought you were just legitimately sick.
No, I just blew my voice out Friday night.
I love that this is his cover for screaming at his parents for a week.
Bro.
Just stop, Dad. I was at a wrestling match and I had to yell. And I mean, there was a microphone, but I guess like it wasn't working. Dad, stop. Dad,
dude,
don't beat the stranger to death.
If inner voices, screaming inner voices could make you lose your voice, my voice would have been shot by like Tuesday last
week. How was the visit, bro?
Exhausting.
Yeah?
Exhaust.
They wear you down.
Just, well, you know what it is? It's like, it's awesome.
You have three infants to deal with.
And I'm not much older.
right?
How's Sid?
Sid is happy that it's back to being normal again, or whatever our normal is. You know, it was cool because they stayed at a hotel, which really did help things out, because at least then Sid got her like morning routine still out of the way.
You got your privacy,
and
so to
my
speak.
Mom and dad get up like around 10-ish. They go get breakfast at the Continental Breakfast at the West Western. They were loving that.
Nice.
Like we get free breakfast every morning. It's amazing. So they weren't like ready to be picked up until like 11:30, 12 o'clock every day.
That's cool.
Which was great because I finished work, swoop up and get them, and then we'd hang out all day and night until like around 8-ish, because that's when I had to go to bed, and they were tired anyway, so it worked out great.
Cool.
But like, you know, I'm doing a show all morning and I'm exhausted by the time the show's over, and then I have to get in the car, 40 something minute drive, I'm exhausted, and then it's like instant parent time, and it's just go, you know what I mean?
There's no break, there's no downtime.
So it's just like, and my wife, she figured out rather quickly a fun way to get out of the situation from time to time. She'd, quote unquote, go upstairs to breastfeed the baby.
Well, yeah, you got to do that.
Well, she'd evac.
Well, she did.
She'd evac.
She'd go there to breastfeed the baby. And then
medevac.
She'd go to the Fortress of Solitude.
And there were
a
couple days.
She's up there stuffing crystals in the pillowcases. And talking to Jarrell.
There were a couple days where my Pops was a little extra grumpy because, you know, he's got a bad knee. I get it. He's a lot of ailments, so it's hard to stay in a good mood. But there were some days that he was, like, extraordinarily grumpy. And so she's like, I'm going to go breastfeed. I'm like, all right, cool. Hour goes by. What? Hour and a half goes by. We're pushing like an hour 45, and I'm like,
can't give her any crap,
like
man.
It's a teenager in the bathroom, man.
When a nipple clogs, and things can take time.
I'm like, where did she go to get this milk? Like, what's going on up there? So I was like, I'm like, I'll be right back. I go upstairs.
She's upstairs asleep.
She's sitting on that rocking chair in the baby's room. No breast exposed anymore, so I missed out on that fun stuff. Just holding the baby, just rocking and looking like she's like Stockholm syndrome.
It's like, how long can I last up here before Steve comes up?
Right, she sees me and looks at me and I'm like, hey. And she's like, it was just so peaceful. I'm like, I get it.
I'm picturing Sid sitting downstairs with the folks for the longest time. She comes upstairs, Steve's sitting there with his nipple out. Rocking
trying,
in the chair,
man, I'm trying.
With eyes wide as
I'm
if
not going
just
back down
seen, you
until
know,
I
like,
can tell this.
What are you doing?
Out.
I
just needed some quiet time.
Yeah, dude.
And I get it. Like, I look at it, I go, well, I'm gonna hang out up here with you for a little bit.
Yeah,
like to making sure you're okay. You know, my parents don't care. They're just hanging out downstairs doing what they do.
What they think of the little babushka?
Oh my gosh, my mom would not let go of her. Aww. Like, it was so adorable, and it was. Like, you don't realize how powerful that moment's going to be until you actually see your mom holding your child.
That's the grandparent moment, dude.
Like, I've got to pull up the picture. Like, I had, of course, like, instantly had to grab a couple pictures because it's like, this is a memory I'll never forget. And also, I want to be able to show it to our baby when, you know, she grows up and she's old enough to understand what was going on, because she's not going to remember that my mom and dad just came and visited her when she's,
what,
six weeks
yeah,
old.
Yeah,
this is the first picture. It's my mom. The little baby.
Oh, dude, that's a power smile.
Yeah.
Mom has a power smile.
Yeah. She's super happy.
It's adorable.
And that was my mom the entire time, like just holding her. And dude, no matter how like fussy Tatum would be, my mom was like the baby whisperer. It's like, oh yeah, she knows how to do this. She
She's
did
got
it.
Some practice.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Yeah, so it was kind of cool. But it's tough though, because like we just had the baby 6 weeks ago. And now for a week, neither one of us is really getting any time with the baby. You know what I mean? As silly as that sounds, but it was
don't
like,
worry, man. You've got
I know, but
a lifetime.
But we just had the baby. It's like just getting a brand new, like, awesome guitar, and then Wyatt swoops in and goes, I'm going to use this for a week. And you'd be like, F you, Wyatt, for so many reasons.
Oh, we figured out a way to say F you to Wyatt.
I love how we choose Wyatt randomly.
7 minutes in. Good job.
I feel like we haven't made fun of Wyatt in a while. I miss him.
Wyatt's good.
Yeah. Well, it's time to make fun of him. Where's our dicks?
Yeah, right.
Dick.
Yeah, right.
Oh, anyways, it was a long week.
Cool.
It's funny because someone texted me, like, any crazy stories with your dad? I'm like, you know, there wasn't a lot of funny stories. There was a couple moments where I'm like,
oh, no.
I'm pretty sure my dad has just been his entire life this giant BSer, and I never knew it.
Like, oh.
He starts saying stuff, and I'm like, that's no way that's true.
But the Post-it.
Then he'll say stuff, and I'm like, but he
always comes back to Rami and Michelle.
I hold the patent on Velcro.
But like, even my wife's
what?
Like,
Dad?
He says things so convincingly that you have to question whether or not he's telling the truth.
It's nighttime right now.
We were at Duke's.
The sun is out.
We were at Duke's, and he just added a blue. Just like, we're eating. It's like, this is really good sourdough. He's like, of course it's good sourdough. Sourdough was originated here in Washington. And I'm like, look at Rev. Rev's going right to
his
phone.
I immediately went to the phone.
Dad, I think it was the French. No, they just gave us that statue and helped us win our independence.
And I'm like,
what?
Right, so he says it so convincingly without like even flinching that I'm looking at my wife and she's like, I don't, like, luckily they can't hear all that well, so she's just kind of like slow, like lightly
talking.
You
know, Romy and Michelle's high school reunion was shot here in Washington.
and he says it with such like convictions. And my wife's like, I don't think that's true. I'm like, I don't think so either. So I pull out my phone. I'm like, no, it's like it's Europe.
I love that you don't have the patience just to let it roll right off your back.
Well, because it's like a series of like over the top stories like that make no sense. Like, why do you know this?
But for your own peace of mind, don't you far out and then just move on?
I kind of wanted to know. Like, it was like I needed a confirmation that my dad's just been bullcrapping me my entire life.
Oh, confirmed it's bullcrapping.
Right.
The power of effort is real, dude.
Like, it got reintroduced in San Francisco. If you really like, we learned a lot about sourdough bread.
Most of where Rice-A-Roni was created.
I just love it. It's like, now do you know how much I know about sourdough because my dad is just a BSer and I couldn't let it go.
Wasn't it Jack in the Box Corporation that created sourdough?
Bro, the sourdough Jack is one of the greatest. And honestly,
dude, I'll even go for the grilled sourdough club, which is grilled chicken, which
if you
is
want to eat healthy.
Yeah, right. But no, sourdough's my jam.
Dude, that's funny you say that because one night I was so stressed out, or one day on the way home, I was so stressed out. And when I get stressed, I like to eat fast food.
I feel you.
I stopped at Jack in the Box and did get a sourdough Jack.
That was the thing, huh?
It was the greatest.
Dude, those are literally my favorite things at Jack in the Box, or the sourdough, either, like I said, with the club or the burger. And I'm usually going for the burger.
See, maybe you guys have it, like, it wasn't last week, maybe it was the week before, I can't remember, but I, complete emotional crash, totally popped, complete anxiety attack, just avalanche, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a little dingy Chinese restaurant. For some reason, the bars are always dimly lit and red.
Mm-hmm.
I sat in the back corner and I drank two huge tumblers of Jack Daniels.
Congratulations.
And the anxiety and stress melted away.
Did you get some orange chicken?
No, I didn't. I wasn't there to eat, man. I was there to drink. I was that guy.
So no sourdough bread?
It's like a movie thing.
Sourdough bread started here.
The guy in the corner in the dark drinking his whiskey, staring at the table that you don't go talk to.
You were that guy.
I was that guy.
But did you know that Chinese food originated here in Washington State?
Did it really?
Yes.
So General Tsao was from Enumclaw.
Either Tsao or Tsao, either of them.
And the Civil War of Enumclaw versus Buckley, General Tsao is the reason why.
Buckley Indian War.
Right.
And General Tsao came to help. Huh.
That's why there's that White Horse Bar.
I didn't know that.
He rode a white horse and defeated Buckley.
Wow.
Right, right.
In order to save.
Is that why Canada has that stuff called Buckley's? It's like paint thinner, but it's supposedly cough syrup?
Yes.
Because the Buckley and Indian War, they were driven north into Canada.
Absolutely.
Huh.
Yeah, had it not been for General Tsao,
Buckley. Did your dad tell you about that?
Yes.
The things you learn.
Had it not been for him, Buckley would have been in Portland, Oregon.
Right.
Man, I bet you he was really sad the internet was invented.
General Tsao?
Yes.
No, Steve's dad.
He's like, God damn it, it's a hard T this whole time. It's Tsao.
And some of the stuff is just like, how do you know this? Like, he would say it. I'm like, you have so much information in your head, but you don't remember.
He didn't know who St. Jude was.
Right. Like,
so what are the origins of sourdough now that we're...
It started somewhere in Europe. I think France. No,
looking quickly online, it looked like it's Switzerland.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But also, the oldest forms of sourdough...
The Swiss. People who couldn't figure out how to make a solid sheet of cheese. They made this dough?
Well, but even looking on Wikipedia, it said that in 3700 BC, the Egyptians had it as well.
And then eventually, it was reintroduced during, the coal mine or, in San Francisco. Or some kind of gold mine. The gold mine.
The gold rush stuff. Yes. Okay.
Nothing says dig a hole like sourdough bread.
Yeah, because with money comes sourdough bread. That's what the.
Did
the
you hit your dad to any of these factoids?
No, of course not.
There's no
was
way
it boiling
you're
inside of you? You're no, like, you want to know
why?
Wrong.
You want to know why? Here's another fun story about my pops. Okay, I got one. This will give you an example of just what life has been like with this man that I truly, truly love. And I hope everyone understands that. It's not about not loving my pops.
Dude, I get it. I love my dad too, and I can do the same thing you're doing.
Dad has knee issues and some other issues, and so it's hard to get in and out of the car and all that kind of stuff. And then also getting on his shoes and getting off his shoes. So in our house, no one wears shoes, so he takes his shoes off. And then when we're ready to go somewhere, he puts his shoes back on. But he's got these shoes, I don't know if there's laces on them or if they're just super elastic shoes, but he's having the hardest time. And both when we went to get out of my house, when we went to our in-law's house.
Did you kneel down and put a shoe on for him?
Well, he's like, a shoehorn. I need a shoehorn. Like, keep saying that, right?
Why do you need a shoehorn? He's got a son.
Right. Well, no, because I was almost emasculating to him, I think, because he got mad at my mom for trying to help him.
It's toddler status right there. I should be able to put on my own
shoes. I'm a grown man.
Yeah.
I can't accept, I don't want to acknowledge the fact that I'm going through some stuff. And I need help.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at times it was hard to convince him to let me just pull him up off the chair because he was having the hardest time.
Do you and your
time.
Dad F with each other at all?
No. Because
okay,
of
see, this. Is it. Like, me and my dad, I figured out, I was about 35 when I figured out my dad had been effing with me my whole life.
Clearly he is with sourdough
bread. Now I can be like, Pop, give me the damn shoe. And he'll laugh and be like, really? I'm like, yeah, I'll put your damn shoe on. Okay, you ready to go to the ball there, princess?
Yeah.
And dad and I'll riff and he'll laugh. And then,
No, we don't have that kind
of thing. You don't have that?
No.
Would he slap you on your head?
Well, here's the thing. So after 2 days,
get him,
Get away, boy.
Get away.
Actually, after one full day of him complaining about the shoehorn thing, right?
Did you go buy one?
Before I picked them up, I swung by Walgreens.
You got a shoehorn.
Do they? Wow, they sell shoehorns.
Did you get the shoehorn on a stick so he didn't have to lean down?
Oh, no, it was a $4 shoehorn. That's all they had.
Oh, you got to get the one on a stick,
bro,
man.
I'm trying to find a shoehorn. I don't
we're
know
do something, do it right.
Where do they sell shoehorns?
Apparently Walgreens.
Walgreens.
I don't know. I didn't even know.
I don't know where else to
them.
Find one. I tried Best Buy. They didn't have it. I tried Arby's.
Best
they didn't have
Buy.
One. So I was like, let me try Walgreens.
The electronic shoehorn, everybody.
just past appliances.
Oh, the Arby's with the roast beef shoehorn.
Yes. Yes, because you know, in Switzerland, they invented shoehorns and roast beef sandwiches.
That's right, man. The Swiss were like, man, those shoes are way down there. I'm way up here.
Right.
What I need is some kind of a slide help get my foot into this
for
thing.
Their clogs.
And General Tsao was like, listen, if you guys help me out with a shoe thing.
Yeah.
I'll help you guys with Buckley.
Well,
Buckley.
Yeah, General
Tsao.
Buckley, yeah. The Buckley Enumclaw Civil War. Come
the
on.
Original way they would get roast beef into a roast beef sandwich was with a shoehorn.
Oh,
they
used wasn't to be called... injected with like a caulking gun? Caulk. Caulk. C-A.
They used
my
to,
wife
I know,
hates
I know,
that word.
I know taco places that do it with their beans,
oh,
man.
Yeah.
I know places behind taco places that ladies will do that for you.
Dude,
for
my wife, of all the things my wife embraces with patience, I'll be like, oh, I can seal that up with some caulk. She'd be like, can you just call it like silicone sealant? She can't handle the word caulk.
I love it. Dude,
my wife
did,
cannot
so
hang with it.
She can't handle the caulk.
She doesn't seem to have any problem with me. I don't think I'm, as caulks go, my...
I'll come back to the shoehorn story for a second.
Okay.
The caulk story made me think of something.
Oh, tangent.
When I used to work on Andy Savage's show, we used to do prank phone calls, but mm-hmm. we would do them like they weren't like nowadays where everyone fakes them and gets like, you know, actors and stuff. Like we actually really did call
they
these
actually
faces.
Got General Tsao on the line.
And then we would really get in trouble with our bosses.
He's like, I hate chicken. They're
shocking.
Like, uh-huh.
Yeah, we got suspended once for a prank call. That is a whole different thing. But one of our...
Dude, when you call in a fire alarm to a hospital, it's not that funny.
No, we called in a guy called his mom saying he needed money because he tried to have sex with a hooker at a hotel and her muscle just showed up and now they will kill him if he doesn't give them money.
Ooh.
And we even had it, like, it was very detailed.
This was a random woman that you called?
No, the guy called his mom as a prank phone call. So we would have him call.
Why'd you
just
get suspended? He made the call.
Because we fed him lines like, hey, say that you're at the Marco Polo Motel. Here's the problem. When they hung up the phone.
Marco Polo's an advertiser.
Marco!
No, the mom did not realize it was a prank and called the cops and said, my son is.
Yeah.
Even though we said it was a prank, she didn't. She was old. She didn't realize it was a prank.
What's a prank? Does that mean she only has one leg?
So then the cops went and busted down the door of.
Yeah.
And then it got back to the son who's like, no, I was doing a prank phone call on the radio. And they're like, well, what radio? And then they told him who. And then my bosses found out, and they're like, well, who? And then they listen back to the audio, and I'm the one who said, say you're at the Marco Polo Motel.
Oh, so you get a week off.
And I got several days off without pay, and it really was a bummer.
Oh, dude, I'm really sorry, man. Damn.
Well, I mean, consequences.
That's a but swing and a miss, baby. Whoa.
But the prank I remember was Annie would call, like, Home Depots or Lowe's or hardware stores and be like, help. And they're like, what? And he's like, I'll hick. I got caulk in my mouth. And this would go on for a really long, uncomfortable time.
Call poison control, right. Sir.
Sir, what's going on? I have caulk in my mouth. And it was just like, this was going on. Caulk.
That's C-A-U-L-K.
Mm-hmm.
Gentleman from the FCC.
Back to the shoehorn.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about shoehorns.
Right. This
from
was
Arby's.
Invented
yeah.
in
from
Buckley,
Arby's.
Washington.
Yeah. Yes, by General Tsao. So I got it, right? Dad gets in the car. I'm like, hey, Dad, guess what I got you? He's like, yeah? I'm like, here you go, shoehorn.
Was he upset?
He looks at me and goes, what are you, some kind of smartass?
Oh, you're trying to help him. He asked for one. What the?
And I just
that's
go.
That's because you didn't get him the one on the stick. He
or
still
the
has
one,
to bend down and fiddle
right,
with
or
it.
The one that also gets roast beef into roast beef sandwiches. And I'm like,
dude,
no, I am not being a smartass.
I love that.
I got this because you've said multiple times you would like a shoehorn. Oh. And then my mom in the back goes, your father tried to bring a shoehorn, but it's a metal one, so he's afraid it wouldn't make it through the metal detector. I'm like, well, what's he gonna? It's not a weapon.
I love how she steps up to the
Roseanne,
plate.
Roseanne, you're not helping.
She steps up to the plate to out him instantly. Well, your father tried to bring one.
I'm like, they're not gonna say no to a shoehorn if it's in his carry-on.
You sharpen this, sir? You planning to take the plane down with us?
Oh my God.
Like, yeah, you can't have like explosives on your shoes, but it's fine to have an apparatus that will put that shoe on your foot.
I could rub a shoehorn on a parking curb, make it sharp, and I could carjack someone with that.
No, it's true.
I'm just throwing that
out. It's true.
My dad is capable of that. So anyway, so now I'm just like,
I'll take the car and their goddamn shoes.
So I'm just like, you have got to be kidding me. We get to my house and I have this look of just like inner screaming in my, you know, like
I've seen that look.
Right. And my wife, I open the door and she's just like, oh, crap. Something happened. And I kid you not.
She's seen that look.
I got to go feed the kid now.
I come in.
Upstairs she goes.
She's still like, whatever. I'm like putting my dishes away, like my Tupperware that I'm from work, and I'm like cursing.
It's hard to slam Tupperware. It's not very satisfying.
Right. Especially when it's got like a rubber coating on it.
Yeah, right.
So it's just like, boom. And my dad, like as if it was written out of a freaking like sad sack sitcom.
Oh, no.
Comes in. And goes, you, and like, all nice to my wife. He goes, you won't believe what your sweet husband did for me. And she's like, what? He's like, he got me a shoehorn. And I turn around. I'm like, wait a second. Like, 1 second, I'm a smart ass. Now I'm the sweetest man. And I my mind was right. Like, I'm like, are you effing with me?
He can't show you love, dude. That's how he's helping to strengthen you and make you a man at 45 years old.
Right.
This is for your own good at 45 years old.
But I'm weak with anger, Glenn. I'm weak with anger.
He's trying to help you build character at 45 years old.
So we finally, at some point, had a little bit of like alone time for a second. My wife's like, why were you so upset? I'm like, and I go, well, this is what happened. And she goes, wait, he just said that you were really nice to get it for him. I'm like, I know. I'm very confused right now.
Do you think your mom gave him the riot act? Or
it was how?
Did you
see
Steven
cry?
We went
straight from the car.
You made him cry.
Oh, okay. There was just like, it's no time.
There was no chance to change your
maybe
narrative.
She sent him a text.
Well,
my mom doesn't have the cell phone.
The cell phone.
She has a flip phone, and she doesn't even know where it is. It's somewhere in her purse. Okay.
You know what? It's just, maybe it's just the difference between, he just wants to build you up for your wife.
He's
but
trying
he's also
he's
just
strong at 45 years old.
Yeah.
He's treating his son different than his sweet daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
Right.
But I was just like, oh my gosh. Did I just have a completely different conversation with you about 15,
maybe
not even 10
Steve
minutes
man,
ago?
Maybe the problem is you, dude.
It is. Maybe just,
come on, man.
I need to just give up.
Yeah, maybe it's you, man. Maybe it was the way you gave him, the look on your face, that like, dude, you can't even get your shoe on look that you had on your face when you gave it to him.
I was so happy. I was like, this is a moment right here. Like, and then all of a sudden it's like the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon and the shoehorn.
Gonna get your shoes on soon.
I've been there. I've been there with my wife.
Gonna get your shoes on soon.
Where it's been like, I did this cool thing.
I did a good thing.
And it's completely not. And I was like, but the thing is, no?
All right. In my head, I'm like, F you and your shoes.
Man, you guys have gift misfires. Last time my folks were in, it devolved into me screaming, Jesus effing Christ.
I think you mentioned that before.
You guys are like a shoehorn incident. I'm like, I shut everyone up, dude. I dropped the hammer. It made for a really quiet dinner. It was very uncomfortable. Plus, we were meeting friends.
And, awkward.
It was very quiet at dinner.
Yeah.
You know, I dropped the hammer. So I think, honestly, you guys are both doing a lot better than me.
See, I won't drop the hammer. When I went to go visit my mom and my aunt this in last October, my mom was maybe a little tipsy, not 100% sure on that, but probably, and we went to a nice Mexican restaurant, and she decided she wanted to have it out with me over, like, misremembering, like, either she misremembered, like, a thing that happened, or I did, something or other, but I have a really good
I only
memory,
had 2 tequila shots, not 3.
It was, but she's just, like, yelling. She's like,
she yelled at you?
She's yelling in general, but it's in the middle of a very, very busy restaurant, and I'm, like, anti-confrontational person, especially in public, and I'm just like, yeah, okay, you're probably right. Yeah, no, yeah, you're probably right. No, no, yeah, yeah, no, no, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're probably
he's like
right,
a bomb technician.
Right. And I'm here with like,
did you offer a shoehorn?
No, I wish I had.
He's just
one.
Trying to diffuse her.
I'm just trying to stop it because it's like I'm there with my cousin, my aunt, my great aunt, my great uncle, all these people.
Did they team up on you too?
No, they they just sat there quietly while I'm like trying. I'm like, you could help out at any point, right? 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 No, no. All right, fine. No, I'm not a person who is even going to do any shutting down.
You could have excused yourself, like, oh, mom, yeah, you know what, you're right. I got to use the restroom real quick.
I should have.
You got to flee, dude.
I really should have.
When dealing with irrational, remove yourself from the situation, bro.
Yeah,
that's the move.
Yeah, you know, every time my parents come, I keep like, or I visit them, I keep notes.
Because for
podcast reasons, you know.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, it really isn't that much. It's like fight at restaurant, shoehorn. Same conversation every day. Too much food. Quote my Facebook post and sourdough. Those are the stories.
The same.
What was the fight at the restaurant?
Oh my gosh, I don't even remember.
Yeah. Were you present for Justin's moment?
Yeah, right. Yeah, did you just like went to Maggiano's and like my mom was having a hard time figuring out what she wanted, and my dad just starts yelling at her.
Oh.
As the waitress shows up, he's like, "Roseanne, just pick something." And my wife and I are like, "Oh!" And then the baby starts crying, and we're like, "Ugh."
Oh, by the way, thank you for the Maggiano's.
Yeah,
too.
That's part of Roseanne. She's the reason for that.
You hooked me up, man.
At Maggiano's, you order something, they give you a to-go box of whatever you want, like of things off the item. Like it's like whatever you order. Then you can pick, like, do you want the raviolis? Do you want the spaghetti and meatballs?
What do you hook up with, dude?
Two orders of spaghetti and meatballs and a thing of ravioli.
Nice. Yeah.
I had lunch and dinner, and my wife had the ravioli.
So, like,
so,
he suffered for your meal.
I did.
It sounds like he took a bullet for
you. Yeah,
he's
Maggiano's Jesus right there.
That was a rough night. One night.
I know now.
So, like, how you say, you have a rough time, you swing by a bar, and you just, like, post up and just do shots, right?
Yeah.
For my wife and I, one of the nights, we dropped my parents off, and we're like, "What time is ice cream social close?" We drove round trip another hour, like
to go get ice cream.
To just go get an ice cream cone.
Well, and first off, ice cream social is amazing.
It is amazing, and for us, like ice cream is like alcohol when it comes to drowning our sorrows. We will just get ice cream.
I feel you.
Alcohol works better, I think.
I've
eaten ice cream and still been pissed at the world. I drink a couple things of Jack Daniels.
Oh,
no. And I'm like,
really,
man?
Oh, you give me two scoops of salted caramel and a waffle cone. I will dry hump you in any circumstance.
I'm picturing him like laying on the curb, like a couple gunshot wounds. The EMTs are there.
Just bring me some ice cream.
Yeah. But I was like, how funny is this?
I need a drink and a cigarette. Can you plug these? I'm leaking.
We had a sleeping baby in the back of the car, and we just said, screw it. I think it was the night of Maggiano's. It was just so stressful.
Oh man.
I was like, my wife's like, "I would just love some ice cream." And, you know, she's got limited options being vegan, so we can't just go to McDonald's or Dairy Queen, which would have been like a 5-minute drive.
You got
to
go someplace where they do it.
Well, ice cream social is open till 10 or whatever it was, and it's only like 8. We can do this.
Yeah.
So we just did it. Like,
and they're great, too.
And, you know,
I've never been to Ice Cream Social, dude.
It's down on 6th Ave in Tacoma.
Also one on Ruston at that new little area on the water.
Oh, yeah?
For some reason, GPS doesn't take you to the one on 6th Ave, even though it's closer. So we drove all the way to the water.
And that's hard, too, because you can't cruise on Ruston. You got to go the speed limit.
Yeah, didn't care. It was worth it. Worth the drive.
A little decompress.
Each lick. Which just removing the pain and the...
You do like a waffle cone?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My man, yeah. There's nothing... Yeah. The smell of a waffle cone, dude,
freshly made.
Always special.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's soothing to the soul. I was joking before. I'm
That's why when
this.
People like look at me like I'm weird, like when I was a kid growing up, I mean, granted, it was odd because it was what my mom gave me as like a like breakfast or sometimes dinner.
Oh, yeah.
It was just those Eggo waffles.
They're delicious.
And then a couple scoops of ice cream on it. And everyone's like, ice cream with waffles?
No,
I'm like,
man, that's
I'm like,
waffle cone.
Do you like waffle cones? It's basically the same thing.
This is like
more
a bigger,
doughy.
Batter mm-hmm. waffle cone.
Yeah, softer cone.
Yeah, I'm with that.
And I think they make their own too there at Ice Cream Social.
Tawny, you listening? We might have to try this sometime.
Oh, so good.
It's like Molly Moon. They also do the homemade ones too.
Like any place that does that, like I will absolutely, you will have my business above all others if you have those fresh made waffle cones.
The place in Ballard, like where the area's brick right there in Ballard, kind of up the street from the tractor and all.
Mm-hmm.
There's an ice cream shop right there by a place Tony and I go to all the time.
Is it Little Woody's?
I don't know, but you can smell it from two blocks out.
It might be Molly Moon because they have a Molly Moon.
It smells like you get in that area and it's like, oh, I know we're close because I can smell those damn waffle cones.
Dude.
Yeah.
I should get waffle cone candles.
That's not a bad idea.
No, because I'm going to want waffle cones.
How about a waffle cone cologne?
Did you know that waffle cones were made in ancient China?
Yes.
Yeah, by General Tsao.
And then eventually they were rediscovered here in Washington State
right.
by General Tsao.
General Tsao was surrounded and his men were hungry and they wanted food and all he had was a waffle iron, which back in those days was challenging because you had to do it over a fire.
Right. And that's also how he would cauterize people who got shot.
That's right. So he was cleaning up some wounds and someone spilled some batter into it and he went, whoa. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve, for just $12 on Goose Creek Candle, You can get waffle cone scented candles.
Whoa.
So you can have that in your
house.
Honestly,
I thought you were going to say for just $12, I could get the machine that makes the waffle cones.
I don't think so. I think it's a little more expensive.
Probably a little more.
That'd be nice, though.
If you want, I'll make you one.
Oh, hey, Bath and Body Works has it, too. Damn. Ooh. Actually, there's a lot of waffle cone candles.
I'm not surprised. It's a great scent.
Someone's already hip
it's
to
like
this.
It's like cinnamon buns.
If it's a good thing, someone's already figured out how to make money off of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, if you walk by Cinnabon and you're just like...
Not us, of course.
It's like 12,000 calories just for one Cinnabon roll, but like you just want it because it smells so good.
A shot of whiskey is only 98 calories. I'm just throwing that out there, man.
Is it? Or are you just giving us Steve Dad? You can look that up. Here.
It's between 92 and 98 calories. Usually the reference that they bring up right away is Jameson. I don't know if Jameson made a deal with the calorie people or what. Because it doesn't bring up any other kind of whiskey.
Guards.
It brings up, you know, shot of Jameson. I think it's 92 to 98 calories.
Damn.
So you want to hear a crazy story, though? I want to talk about your tour in a second, but it got me thinking about something. So Pearl Jam's on tour, and Ryan Castle and I have been trying to figure out a way to make a trek down to go see them.
Funny as
this
hell.
This has been going on forever. So originally, like, our original plan was, okay, let's go to Phoenix. Because originally, we were like, oh, Oakland would be great. I'm like, no, that's Easter weekend. I can't do it. So we're like, let's do Phoenix. He's like, bummer we can't do Oakland because it's a lot cheaper. It's closer. I'm like, I can't do Oakland, man. It's just not going to happen. So we've been trying to plan the Phoenix one because it's spring training. And other stuff, the prices are ridiculous for plane tickets.
God, I didn't even think about that.
$500 for a ticket.
Whoa.
$500 a night for a hotel room. And I'm like, I can't swing a set. Neither one of us is like going to drop $750 just to go see Pearl Jam one night and then come right back, right? But like for a couple $100, if we could pull it off, it'd be a really fun experience. So then I'm like, damn it, that sucks. Easter weekend, that's a bummer. And then Danny's like, Easter weekend's not the weekend that they're in Oakland. It's the weekend before. And I'm like, no. I'm looking at it right now. I did not know that there is regular Easter weekend and Orthodox Easter weekend.
What?
I've been planning
is
all
this.
Is
there an unorthodox Easter weekend?
Yeah, I guess
so. Easter weekend that everyone goes and parties
right.
on. That's my
That's
Easter
the unorthodox?
Weekend.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. I'll see you there. Yeah.
So now it's like, oh my gosh, we almost planned a trip on actual Easter weekend, which would have completely put me in the doghouse with my wife. And I'm trying to be like, do the right thing and be like, I'm willing to spend more so that I don't have to screw over my wife and miss my baby's first Easter.
Glenn, when Steve found out about this, like, I was in my booth, and so it's quote-unquote soundproof. Steve, like, I hear clunk, 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 la! Through the wall, and then he runs out of the studio and runs down the hall. I thought, because it's me, I thought, it's like, did he just crap his pants or something?
Steve has soiled himself.
He's like, way too
he's
excited.
He's made a beeline for Castle's desk.
And he just runs right for Castle's desk.
Ryan, guess what?
I wish Jason, our production guy, was nearby. I'd bring him in just because he overheard. I go, Ryan! I've been thinking it was Orthodox Easter. Who gives an F about Orthodox Easter? We can go to Pearl Jam in Oakland. And Ryan just was like, no way. And we're high-fiving. And so now we're trying to plan it. But the best flight we could get out is like 5:45 in the morning. And I'm wrestling the night before at Battlemania. So I'm going to be tired.
Wrestling on Easter.
Well, Easter Friday.
Yeah, Easter Friday. It's Good Friday.
Is it Good Friday?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Hopefully our Jesus character is back from his injury on that day. That'd be amazing.
Is it,
for
he kind of has to.
Right?
Good Friday, is that when they put him in the hole or is that when he came out?
I think that's when they put him in the hole.
How could that be good?
Well, maybe
it's good for everyone else, right?
Not really.
Maybe
he
it's
had
sarcastic.
A rough day. And...
Maybe it's a good for you.
So when is the Oakland date?
The 18th.
Okay.
18th and 19th.
Oh, Good Friday because, well, yeah, Good Friday says that it's April 10th, so never mind. I'm an idiot.
I wonder if do we have April 20th off, I wonder? I never know with our show.
April 20th off? I don't think so. I don't think we have 420 off.
Ooh, I wonder if we could get that off, and then we could just do Sunday instead.
Ah,
might be cheaper. We'll have to talk to Mr. Shea about this.
All coming together,
so you just got to, put it in his brain.
Yeah.
All right, well, unorthodox Easter.
But that's exciting for me because I'm going to get to hopefully see Pearl Jam in Oakland.
Yeah.
And the hotel's like near the arena, so we get to walk the streets of Oakland.
I just want to throw this out there for all the people
luck.
That hit me up randomly when they hear about a show and ask if I can get tickets to it because I come up here and do the Mixcast. Steve is an award-winning morning man, and this is what he's going through to get Pearl Jam tickets. So maybe just plant that seed in your brain.
People do that?
You wouldn't believe. And it's weird because it's usually...
No, I guess I would believe.
It's usually people that I haven't heard from in 5 or 6 months.
It's always those guys.
And it's straight up like, hey, Fisher House, SDP, I'm all about it. And I'm like, me too.
Yeah.
You think you can get me tickets? I'm like,
no.
I don't even have a key card to get into this goddamn building.
Right.
Okay? But yeah, you'd be surprised, man. You'd always be surprised. People that I haven't heard from in 5 months will hit me up about tickets to an event that the stations mentioned. And
I want
to help them out, but I have to be honest, I'm like, I'm not even sure if I can go. I'm happy to ask, but I just want to, again, listen to what Steve's going through to go see Pearl Jam, a band that the station plays and supports. And he's, you know, he's dealing with the second coming of Christ. He's talking about financial issues. This is what he's going through.
Good point.
And he works here. I just want to plant that seed. Okay, right. Go ahead, Steve.
But no, it's funny you say that.
Thanks, everyone. This has been a Glenn moment.
I have a couple friends that'll hit me up with tickets from time to time, but they're my friends. I don't mind that. Like, sometimes it's always funny that those are the ones that are like, and whenever they hear me like talk about it, they're like, hey, man, I'm sorry if I hit you up. I'm like, no, I'm not applying this to you. Like, if we talk from time to time about random BS, I don't mind if you just hit me up.
When I haven't heard from you in 4 months.
But if I haven't heard from you sometimes in years, I've heard sometimes, I'm like, who is this person? Like, it's one of those. Like,
with this incident, this was someone that I actually adore, love to death,
right.
All good. I wasn't offended, but I kind of went, man, I haven't heard from you in 4 months.
Well, yeah.
And now you're hitting me up about this because, you know, it's all good. I guess you never know until you ask.
I know, but at least I always say, say hi and how are you before you just say, can I have tickets? Because I have had that before. It's like, dude, Pearl Jam, can I get some tickets? I'm like, your phone number is not even saved in my phone. So I'll be like, sorry, I don't know who this is. Who is this?
We met a few years ago.
So it says Charles, man. Yeah, can you hook me up? I'm like, how have I been? I've been great. Like, it's like, dude, just at least try and play the game.
Right? Yeah.
Say hi.
Yeah, a little foreplay.
It hit me like listening to you talk about what you and Castle are going through just to try and get to go see Pearl Jam.
Right.
And I'm like, man, that really puts this in reference for me. It's a great point, like jumping off point for me to explain, like, think about who Steve Miggs is and who Ryan Castle is.
I'm a local celebrity.
Think about who I am. this guy's like holding up a liquor store to try and get to Oakland to see Pearl Jam. Like, the odds of me being able to help you out, probably pretty slim.
Speaking of local celebrity, quick plug this weekend. I'm wrestling at 3-2-1 nice Battle, I think. The guy's supposed to wrestle just got his appendix removed. So Cubby.
Oh, now you know where to
kick
him.
Big blow-off match, and unfortunately, Cubby, I hope you do well, but I've said it once, I've said it again, you just keep quitting on me, man. Just keep quitting on me.
Dude, you should get in the ring and throw, because an appendix basically looks like a little sausage. You should get in and
be like,
say I've got your appendix and like take a bite out of it.
There was a wrestler many years ago, he broke Wahoo McDaniel's leg, I think it was Larry Zbysko, and he wore a shirt that just said, I broke Wahoo's leg. I should say, I don't know. I removed Cubby's appendix.
Yeah.
I
mean, it doesn't float. It's not, flow as well.
I broke his appendix. I broke Cubby's appendix.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
The appendix,
awesome.
I think it's like your body's oil filter, essentially.
Dude, it's just, what a bummer, though. Like, he was supposed to wrestle at Defy, which is like, it was a big deal for him. Like, a big opportunity for exposure. He's been wanting to have this happen forever. Gets booked that day. Emergency appendectomy.
Dude.
Wow. Yeah. Appendectomy. Yeah.
Oh, man. I was so bummed for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm bummed we're missing out on our match, but more importantly, I'm bummed that he's missing out
They had to dig a piece of him out and chuck it.
This Friday, I might be stealing your appendix at 3-2-1 Battle. but Saturday, I bring it up because I know we have some people who listen in Bellingham, and I never make it to Bellingham. And that's part of what I want to do now more with my wrestling. It's like try and find areas that I haven't been to.
Cool.
Like, I'm going to be in the Kitsap County at the end of this month with Northwest Pro.
Down in Buckley, Wrestling General Sal.
The big rematch.
Yeah, the sourdough challenge.
General Sourdough.
The Civil War Sourdough Battle Mania Challenge.
Sourdough.
General Sourdough.
Yeah, dude.
So
I'll be at that.
I'm in Bellingham for 5
Steve will rise like the yeast.
Yes. The yeast man cometh.
The beast of the yeast.
The beast of the yeast coming to Bellingham.
From the east.
So if you're in Bellingham and you want to say hi, come watch me wrestle. I'm going to be in a big 5-way match. It's going to be a blast. 5cc wrestling. Just type in 5cc on your Google and wrestling. You'll figure it out.
Nice.
But I'm somewhere in Bellingham at like their local VFW hall. But that's going to be a blast. So Saturday night, come hang out with us. That's going to be a really, really
cool.
good time. But I mentioned Oakland, and I instantly thought of you because I saw on your tour dates, you're playing a place that I've played before.
Oh, you played the Stork?
Yes.
What's
the
it like?
Stork?
It's a dive bar.
Perfect.
And awesome.
Yeah. No, I got the vibe. It was a total dive bar.
Like, I say it's a dump, but I say that in a very, like,
No, I love
in a
that
good
kinda,
way.
It's a rock and roll bar.
Yes.
Yes.
Like,
I love
and
it.
And granted, it's been, like, 15 years since I've been there, but I can't imagine it's changed
much. No, hopefully it hasn't.
It's a really cool spot. The people that worked there at the time were awesome. It's a cool vibe. It's a small stage.
That's fine.
But the room's cool.
Cool.
It's not tiny. It's not big.
Yeah, they do. It's funny talking with the booker there. They do an average, it's like a lot of times on weekends, they'll do 5 and 6 bands.
Yeah.
They start music at like 7 and go to 1 a.m.
That's kind of what happened with Peter Parker.
The show we're doing is just a 4-band bill, but like the booker's been really cool. The venue looks really cool.
It's a fun spot, dude. When I saw that, I was like, I know that place. I played there. And of all the places we played on our little West Coast tour, that was my favorite. No, Bottom of the Hill in San Francisco was awesome because we were on a show that was like part of a convention of shows.
Oh, nice.
Like a music fest.
Right.
And the place was packed.
Yeah.
So, but that was like by our doing. It was just that we lucked out. Store Club, it was like no one knew who the F we were. We played with our friend's band who had a small following.
Uh-huh.
But the crowd was good. Like,
nice.
It was, so I feel like you're going to have a blast there.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what you think of
that.
We're
with a pretty dope band that I connected with from that area called Death Valley Gypsies.
That's a cool name.
That's a cool name.
Yeah. They look rock and roll as F because it was one of those things where the booker was like, hey, man, so we've got this date for you. Can you help scare up some local support? And I've been running.
That's crazy.
I've been running into that a lot on these tours. Like they're like, "Hey, yeah, the night's all yours. You got to book local bands."
Really?
And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't want to be that guy, but I'm kind of thinking, well, what do you get paid for?" But okay.
And also, you know the local bands better than I do.
Nah, dude. So what I do, I have to. I just start going to their show calendars, seeing who's playing when, going out, watching the bands, seeing what they sound like. Then
check
I message
Facebook
them.
Following.
Yes and no. Okay. I mean, I want to put together a show. If a band's kind of ripping and they only have 400 followers, maybe they're a brand new band. As long as the band's kind of cool, hey, man. So, and it's cool. Actually, it's been cool because as a result of this, I've now been able to chat and network with some of these area bands that I'm going to get to meet for the first time on tour, which is really cool.
That's fun.
And for them, I mean, but if they ever decide to come to the Northwest, they've got a connection.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I've, man, there have been a couple cats that have really jumped through some hoops for me. And I'm like, if you ever come up here, even if I can't play, I'll help you find a venue. I'll support it. I'll drag people out to it.
I'll get good bands to play with.
If you can throw me a bone in your market, I will dial you in Seattle.
Yeah.
But so Death Valley Gypsies is a local band there. And then I've got Fuzz Huzzy from L.A., which those guys are killer. Window Painted played with them about a decade ago. And out of nowhere, Alan hits me up. He's like, hey, man, we're back in action. We're doing X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, bro, I'm going to be down your way. So I actually set up 2 shows, one in San Diego and one in Oakland with Fuzz Huzzy. I'm looking forward to the Stork, actually, man.
Yeah, no, dude, I was like, my eyes
if it's a good old-fashioned, kind of sawdust on the floor rock and roll bar, that is my home. Those are my people.
Yeah.
It sounds great to me, man.
Dude, it's super fun, man.
Cool.
I think you're gonna dig that place.
Yeah, nice.
So the tour is all locked in.
Tour is all locked in. There's one date in Medford that we're still waiting. It even says to be announced on the calendar. And then the Bancroft show in San Diego has been moved from the Tuesday to the Monday. It's either San Diego or Santa Cruz. I can't remember. But beyond that, yes, everything is locked in and done. Now I'm into the whole, I need what time's load in? What time's show start? How are you handing door? I'm getting into the details. At first, it was confirmed. On to the next show.
Right.
Because literally, this, to put it in perspective, man, I started booking this tour the very end of October, and I worked on it every morning, kind of clear through January. I was originally hoping we'd have 22 to 25 dates, and we ended up with, what do we have, 15 or 17?
Yeah,
it's a good run.
It's a good run.
And the thing is, there were some shows that were locked in up north. Actually, one in particular was the Billy Blues show. I actually booked the Tacoma and Everett kind of homecoming dates based on that Billy Blues show in Vancouver, Washington on April 2nd. So we had to get back up here in time for that.
Mm-hmm.
So it ended up negating Arizona for me, which is kind of a bummer because we have pockets of following down there already.
Oh, fun.
So we'll have to hit Arizona next time. Then I did want to hit Las Vegas, but as it is, we're doing San Diego and then basically taking a whole day to travel up to the Reno area. Right across the border from Reno is a town called Truckee, California, where we're playing. But it's basically Reno, Nevada area. It'd be like Seattle, Tacoma.
Right.
They're on top of each other. But, man, tour's locked in, announced, and we're hitting the road, which is cool.
I'm curious. I found Death Valley Gypsies on...
I just want to hear what they sound.
I love their logo.
Dude, it was a rough and tumble rock and roll band. I thought they were cool.
Yeah, I see their logo. It's like a circle. And
I want to say the singer's name's Dave Ferrier. I want to say that's his name. I might be messing that up. If I am, sorry, dude.
Yep.
But he's been really cool to chat with online. Dave Ferrier.
If they have a plain black
shirt
with that logo.
And a couple other bookers I've talked to, I'm like, man, I've been talking to... I'm like, dude, I've been talking to Dave Ferrier. They're like, oh, Death Valley Gypsies love those guys. So I'm kind of stoked to play with them and meet them.
If they have a shirt with just their plain logo in black.
You want one?
Size large, please. I'll buy it. Yeah. I'll send you some
I'll
cash.
Tell Dave who you are, and he'll be like, I can get him Pearl Jam tickets.
Tell him I gave him a spin on the podcast here.
Yeah.
That's worth a shirt.
Yeah, these guys are rock and roll.
I really like this so far.
It was one of those things where the store hit me up and said, hey, can you help find some local support? So sure. And I just went to a show poster and saw Death Valley Gypsies. And honestly, the name, I was like, I'm looking these guys up. And I watched the video and was like, oh, dude.
Yes, dude, so far, this is pretty rad.
Yeah, let's...
This song's called Rabbit's Moon.
Yeah, it is just a rock and roll band.
Yeah, which is a good mix. I see it's
getting dark. I think right? It's time to go. Let's have another
drink and then we'll hit the road. Come on. Can I have ice cream?
We got to get these boys up north.
I like this.
Yeah, it's cool, man. I found a couple videos, just live videos, and I was instantly sold. And bless Dave's heart, man. I hit him up, and he hit me right back. He's like, yeah, man, we're down.
Yeah, it says deathvalleygypsies.com. You can find videos and this music.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of, like, 70s.
Dude, right?
Straight up rock.
Well, this is a great... They fit right with what we're doing.
Yep.
You know,
absolutely.
Like, it's bluesy, S-kicking rock and roll, yep. Man. So, yeah, it's been cool, like, chatting with Dave a little bit on Messenger that we have been. But sweet guy, amazingly cool band. Right?
Yeah, I'm feeling this.
It's rock and roll, man.
Hell yeah. Now I hear another one, just since we're... I'm going down that wormhole.
That's cool. I'm going to hit him up like and be like, hey, dude, we talked about you on the show. I'll be like, what show? And I'll be like, I didn't mention any of this.
The show.
We got to get these boys up to Seattle. I think people would love them up here, man.
Mix Fest 4.
Ooh. Yeah. Actually, man, I was talking on the tractor. They're already booked clear into August. So if we're going to get into Mix Fest, we should maybe...
Start booking it now?
Yeah, and I'm like, it's February 3rd, and you're already booked for that weekend in August? I was kind of shocked. Goodness.
That's nuts.
Yeah. They were like, sorry, those nights are already booked. And I'm like, okay, following weekend, can I maybe challenge some holds? And
excuse me?
Yeah.
Sounds like a wrestling.
Yeah.
You're challenging a hold.
I want to challenge some holds.
Sounds like something I'd... Thumbnails.
Right? See, I want to be in a basement smoking pot listening to this.
Blacklight poster.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, it's cool, man. I've seen, obviously, a bunch of pictures because now I'm following Dave on Facebook and stuff. And just... this is killer, right?
I like his voice.
But I saw a couple pictures of him, like, straight up violin bow on a telly. I saw another one. I think he's doing a violin bow on a Les Paul. And I'm like, oh, he's a Page fanatic, too. You know.
So he plays guitar, too?
Yeah, he sings and plays guitar.
I like their drummer, too.
Yeah, Dave, I haven't met or chatted with any of your bandmates. You'll have to tell them that we love them up here in Seattle.
Come on!
So you know, it's an audio show, but as soon as that hit, Steve dropped his phone and threw his hands up.
I'm a sucker for some good woo-hoos.
Oh, dude, this is good old 60s, 70s rock and roll, man.
I know you don't like Kiss, but this reminds me a lot of, like, the cool S that I love about Kiss.
I get it.
Like, these, like, the hoo-hoo-hoo things, like, that kind of stuff, like, and just that production. Obviously, they're not as cartoony. I like this a lot.
This is really cool music, man. Yeah, I'll be in touch with Dave. And I don't know how often they tour, but we get them up here at Tacoma, Seattle, Everett. People up here would love this band, man, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
They're a rough and ready glam rock band delivering raunchy 70s-styled proto-punk dashed with hard rock, writing fresh original tunes influenced by their musical heroes without overtly trying to sound vintage or retro. Agree. They believe in, above all things, having a good time.
There you go.
And some other stuff with the website is messy on my phone.
Yeah, like I said, man, a couple different bookers and promoters, as soon as I mentioned Dave's name, they're like, oh, dude, I love that guy. Death Valley Gypsies is so cool. And, I was stoked they agreed to play with us.
I gotta turn this off. Otherwise, I'll just keep listening.
So anyway, you can catch...
I can't believe I just obsessed over this.
No, that's good, man. Yeah. That's cool, dude.
That's a good sign.
They are a killer band, and we're playing with them at the Stork. I forget the date. It's the 21st. I want to say it's a Friday in March.
All right, I'm going to fly out.
That's all I know. Yeah, it'll cost you less than Pearl Jam, Steve.
Wouldn't that be funny if I don't even tell you, and then Glenn's like flying? He's like, is that Steve?
I look up and see Steve in Castle.
Yeah, and I have
visibly bummed that they're not at Pearl Jam, but they're at my show.
We booked the wrong tickets, and we still had to follow through.
Yeah, it turns out this is an extraordinarily unorthodox Easter.
I'm wearing a shirt that says "Got stood up for the Pearl Jam show," and all I got was this Death Valley Gypsies T-shirt.
I'll bring you home. I'll bring you home a Death Valley Gypsies shirt, dude.
That was sick, man.
They're a great
band.
Those
guys. Yeah, cool. It's pretty rad. Awesome.
Some, you know, those guys, and then a few other bands. I'm really looking forward to meeting because I've just briefly chatted with them on Messenger. Like, hey, I've got this date. They're asking me to help fill the slots, are you available? And then here's a link to my website and our music. And, you know, as it is with all things, a lot of times you don't even hear anything back. But some of these bands and artists have gotten back to me, and it's been cool. Like, now I'm in a place where I'm like, I can't wait to meet these people and see them live. My buddy RC from Sidestep Booking, who really went above and beyond helping me put some stuff together, man. And his band, he's in several projects, but one of his bands, Ranchero, is also going to be on that bill, I believe, at the Stork. So I'm really looking forward not only to meeting him, but now I get to see one of his bands play.
Hell yeah.
And he was a guy that my buddy Tyler Jakes hooked me up with, because I was talking. Tyler Jakes is from the Bay Area, a really cool artist that comes up here on tour to Seattle frequently. So I'd hit him up like, hey, man, I'm going to be coming your way for a change. Can we get some show swapping going on? He was juggling a lot of stuff kind of in his personal life, but he got to a point where he's like, hey, man, look, here's what I'm dealing with right now, but reach out to this guy, reach out to this guy, reach out to this guy. And yeah, RC from Sidestep Booking has been so good to me. And man, it was dope. I got this random email. I was at a show somewhere, and I got this email, and it said it was during NAMM. NAMM was going on, and it was from him. And he's like, dude, do you know these guys? Pound from Seattle? I just met these
How
guys.
How random.
Yeah, dude. And so I hit him back. I'm like, oh my God, dude, you're with Ryan Shute. I'm like, Pound is amazing. Those guys were so cool. I'm like, dude, if you get the chance, if you see him again, please give him my love. But it's one of those, you know, it's a big, small world, right? So, Sidestep Booking, my man RC from Sidestep Booking has been remarkably good to me and ended up hanging out with the dudes from Pound
small world.
At the NAMM show. I think I was at Club Surfer, Nicole Moody's birthday party. Me and Lance McKay were doing an acoustic set down there, and I got that email and just lit up. I'm like, what? Dude, you're hanging out with Ryan Shute, man. Yeah, you know. So
one of my favorite things to talk about, just like bands, like becoming friends with random people you never met before. I remember Peter Parker, we played a show somewhere in the Bay Area. I think it was it might not have been Oakland, it might have been at Berkeley. And this band was like a Marilyn Manson-esque type of a band. Like,
right.
Just like shock rock, right?
Okay, yeah.
We should not be playing with this band at all. What happened that we were also in the same hotel because they were playing something. Like, we just lumped together because of the booker, right?
Right, right, sure.
So we exchanged CDs, and then we ended up running into them later on at the pool at the hotel. And I'm wasted. And they show up, and they're like, they're still in their garb, but they show up to the pool.
That's amazing.
Which I thought was hilarious. I'm like,
goth pool party.
Right.
I'm in. I've never seen more runny eyeliner in my life.
And the singer, like, he's on something, but he just sees his eyes lit up. He goes, guys, I did not realize how much we're both alike. And I'm like, how is this happening?
Mainly the way we talk.
He's like, you guys sing about hate and so do we. And I'm like, huh? I'm like, what do you mean? We don't sing about hate. He goes,
don't correct
that song.
A man when he's on acid, dude.
He's like, you wrote about this one song. I can't remember which song it was, ours, but it has a line.
Hug me, love me?
It's hug me, love me, yes. There's one of the lines just says hate Ashbury, but like hate Ashbury the
band. Oh, you did a play on words.
Right. But we don't spell it H-A-T-E. We spell it like how hate Ashbury is spelled, area.
Well, I hate Ashbury too.
He must have listened to our CD and heard the song say hate Ashbury, and he's like, all of our songs are about hate, and you have the word hate in your lyrics. And he loved us after that. Like, he thought our band was the coolest thing.
And now he's a member of Congress.
Yes, he is. It's actually, it was Mike Bloomberg. Mike Bloomberg was once in a band called Hate.
Do you remember the name of the band?
I don't
know. I love that they came to the pool party still in there.
I know.
Like, dude, make no mistake.
Full
this
makeup,
is, this
hair.
This is who we are.
That's so amazing.
Like, this is not
make
a show.
No mistake, bro. This is who we are.
We are this band.
I love that. Man.
We are Hate.
Love me. We're eight.
Why don't we do something? Everything good in your world before we go to...
Yeah, everything's going great.
You got contacts.
Yeah. So
I did. I saw the post on the interweb.
Yeah.
And he was like, trying out some contacts.
This is literally the third time I've ever put contacts into my eyes.
How'd it go?
Today, good. This weekend, I literally had the biggest meltdown where my wife had to calm me down.
Oh, do tell.
Well, here's the deal. I put in the contacts because I go get my eye exam and everything is all hunky-dory. They're like, all right, we'll get you fitted. We'll test these out. And there's someone there helping me out, figure it out. And I mean, have you ever put in contacts?
No,
I'm so glad my vision's okay because I would be terrified. Well,
my nearsight has gone to total S in the past 2 years.
I feel like mine's starting.
It happened over the course of a week, but I've just got the lowest, the 1.25 readers that I got to pop on now, and it makes life better. But my vision's killer. Mm-hmm. My farsight just fell apart.
My vision has been terrible for a long time, but I never wanted to stick something in my eye.
Sure,
and
that's reasonable.
Still very much against this, but I'm like, okay, I can get through this. I'm 40 years old now.
That doesn't mean
I can try to do this. And even like the eye doctors and everyone there is like, oh, you'll have no problem. Your eyes are so big, which is apparently a compliment.
He's flirting with you.
Yeah. And so I'm like, all right, cool. So I did it. And I'm like, I got this. And then this weekend I tried to do it. And I'm just sitting there. I'm swearing.
You just couldn't get him in?
So much rage because, so I've got this little itty-bitty plastic flimsy thing on the end of my finger.
You spread your eye apart and pop it on there,
You pull it apart.
Was it sticking to your finger? Or?
It was getting off of my finger. So I'm like literally poking my eyeball, pushing my finger against my eye.
You got to lubricate your finger first. Try some motor oil.
It's already lubricated. It's got all of the fluids all over it. I'm like, come on, what the hell's... And like literally like just losing
my
mind.
Maybe the secret is to put it on your eyeball and let your eyelids close a little bit to hold it in place so you pull your finger away?
I don't know, but it worked this morning. I was able
to
do it. Yeah, I'm getting better at it. It just takes practice.
Right.
And it feels weird because there's something on my eyes, but not my glasses.
I couldn't do it.
I like it, but it's going to take me a while to get used to.
Are these those kind that you can wear for like 3 and 4 days or a week, or you got to take them in and out every day?
No, you should never do that, by the way. You should never wear them like for more than like 8 hours or something. Maybe you could do like 12 hours.
My friends are all on drugs. They're like, I've had these in for 4 days, man.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't do that.
My eyes hurt.
But these are disposables, and I probably should have taken them out by now for today because just I've only been doing it for the third time. So I've had them in since about 5. So it's about 6 hours right now, and I have a headache. Like, because I'm getting used to it.
So it's just in the back
of my head. Oh, no, it's fine. I'm trying to get used to it to see whether or not I actually want these.
Right.
But then you could always wear, like, the crazy eye color ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's snake the
thing.
Eyes.
I want to do that stuff. And I want to be able to wear,
the smiley faces.
The dumbest reason. But I want to be able to wear, like, masks. And I want to be able to, like, cosplay. And I want to do all these dumb things without my glasses so I can still actually see.
This makes nothing but sense, dude.
Okay,
honestly, I don't judge you for that at all, dude. That's actually completely rational.
And so this is where I'm at this point in time. And it's weird.
Yeah.
Because especially, like, the first day that I put them in, I went home and I got really baked. And so I was sitting there staring at myself in the mirror and be like, I don't look like me.
Yeah, because you don't have glasses.
I haven't seen you without
glasses.
Yeah, I've worn glasses for 15 years. I should have been wearing them a lot longer, but it was up until that point where I'm like, oh, yeah, I should probably wear glasses.
After the third person you ran over, you're like, maybe something's going on.
Well, it was literally, I put on a friend's glasses in a bar and I could read the menu across the way.
Isn't that a heartbreaking moment?
And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
This is bad. Yeah,
I was convinced I was just tired, and my wife, the running joke on that story was, honey, you're not tired, you're old. You know?
Yeah.
That's going to be the name of my book.
Right? And so she brought me home a pair of readers. I'm like, babe, I'm telling you, I think...
What, is this some kind of joke?
Yeah.
She's smart ass?
A shoehorn and reading glasses. Right? And man, I put them on my head and everything came in. I was like, no way.
Right?
Right? So like, same thing. Yeah. You're in a bar, you put his glasses on, you're like, oh.
It's astounding though, just being like, it's a weird sort of freedom because it's not really... But, like, just not having to worry about cleaning my glasses.
Yeah.
But I'm still, shoving something in my eyeball.
It's interesting looking at you. There are literally white lines along your
temple. Oh, yeah. I got tan lines.
Yeah, because you wear your glasses at all times.
So
yeah,
it's like, oh, God. Yeah.
No, I mean, it doesn't look bad, but I'm actually looking for it now.
Yeah.
You know, dude.
And it's one of those things where it's like, A, it's going to take some getting used to. I'm not going to wear them all the time because I still like glasses.
Yeah.
And it's just a little bit more freedom on that end. And everyone's like, well, you should get LASIK. And I'm like, I'm not shooting lasers into my
eyes. My wife is terrified. Like, she wants LASIK, but she's afraid of doing that.
Well, but my understanding is LASIK works if your eyes have always been fouled up an X way. For cats like me, where I had like 18/20 vision my whole life.
Uh-huh.
And now I've gotten older. And those, what happens is those muscles just start to wear out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's why my nearsight's gone to hell.
I thought it was because you were cranking it more.
Well, it might have been.
Glenn,
I'm not eating enough carrots and I'm playing with my donger. But I'm eating a carrot and playing with my donger. But I got a carrot in my cornhole. I mean, play a tongue in my balloon knot with a carrot and a donger. But
whoa!
Yeah, apparently with LASIK, if your eyes just start to go to S,
they're like, really
sorry about that, bro.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, LASIK is for people that were like, man, I was born terribly nearsighted. And they can go in there and correct the problem. And then, bam, you're all sorted out.
Yeah, no, I do the eye test from time to time, and it's like, they said I should, you're supposed to every once in a while go to an actual vision doctor. I've never done that. And I was like, oh, crap, I maybe should, because everyone in my family wears glasses except for me. And I'm starting to notice that bottom line, it's not as easy to read. I can still read it, but it's getting a little more blurry.
Are you seeing double of anything yet?
No.
What I started to notice is stuff was out of focus.
That's kind
of
where I'm at.
And then it went
at,
from out of focus to a double and triple blur.
Whoa. Ooh,
so I'd see like
that's not the whiskey?
I'd see like a small, well, it depends on my mood. Yeah. But I'd see like if it was the letter F, I'd see like three and four blurry F's in a pile, and I put my readers on, and it's like a.
Mm-hmm. I usually see an F, and I start seeing a U, and I realize that, oh, it's not on the chart. It's just my
Glenn
own.
Glenn is texting me.
It's my own self-deprecation.
My dad's texting me, thanking me for the shoehorn.
But I was like, if I'm ever gonna get to the point where I need glasses, I've always thought like that'd be kind of not cool, but you know, my wife doesn't want me to grow a beard, and as a bald guy, it's like. You know, you have a blank slate. And
yeah.
So, like, I'm like, oh, having the glasses would add a little more flair to my face.
It does.
Right. I know it sounds stupid, but like for a while, I was like, I'm gonna get fake glasses.
I like gotta get like fake the 70s, glasses. The huge frame, the huge ugly frame 1970s reporter glasses.
You know I would. With like an orange tint on it.
I'm Stephen Miggs, here to lie.
Get your
butterfly collared shirt.
Get yourself a fedora.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Show off the chest hair.
Yeah.
I'm Teddy Savalas all of a sudden.
Who loves
Ron
you, baby?
Burgundy.
Yeah, baby. Bald Burgundy.
I don't know if anyone's told you, but I'm kind of a big deal.
100.
Just working the guns.
Like, seriously, I love the glasses because they frame my face, because I got a fat, round face, and that's also the same reason why I have
that's
beard.
That's nice. I've never thought of your face as fat or round, Justin.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, well, yeah, it's because I have a beard.
My friend Justin.
Because I have a beard, and it's...
Your head is fine, bro.
It goes through, like, a perfect circle. Like, it...
artists have been shooting for that for years, and you're complaining about it, man.
It ain't good, man. It's not good. Not good.
Well, if you can see the board in front of you, let's do the voicemails, the emails, and the text. I wouldn't make you read the text messages.
Well, now I know if I ever need to draw a circle, I'll put the compass on the tip of his nose.
I hate you, but you're not wrong.
Sorry, you don't. You started it.
I know.
Stories, jokes, and hijinks.
Messages. Yeah. Well, we got a text message at 253-271-4787. It just says, hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. That's the whole message?
Yeah.
I've been getting
hi.
Text messages Hello. Recently that are, they've got to be phishing ones because they come from nowhere. Like, I don't know the number or anything along those lines, but it's stuff like, awesome. Thank you so much. Look forward to meeting you. And I'm like...
Oh, yeah, it's a phishing thing, dude. Yeah. I wouldn't mess with that.
Yeah, and it's like, I was like, I'm not texting you back on that.
See, I wonder if the high thing was, I think it's Messenger that does it, because it's funny, and I've had people make fun of me.
Oh, yes.
But when I send emails and stuff, I do them in the way I was taught to write a paragraph in school. So it's literally the name, indentation, paragraph begins. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do indentations in the whole thing.
Damn.
And I do that in my... Depending on the length of the text, I'll do indentations and stuff in a goddamn text message, no lie. And I'll get into Messenger, and it'll be like, hey, man. And then I'll hit enter so I can get
and
to the next line.
And you just send it. Yeah. Yep.
And so I can start my indentation.
You gotta hit shift.
And boom, they get, hey, man. I'm like, no! And then I just have to start typing really fast.
Right, because otherwise they're going to write, what's up? And you're like, I'm not done.
Yeah, I was trying to tell you that your house is burning down.
Dude, I did that on Twitter. I was writing a thing out, but I wasn't 100% sure yet I wanted to send it.
You can't indentate on Twitter. There's not enough characters.
And I hit enter. No, on the direct message. Messages you can. So on a direct message, I was writing someone doing like some business stuff, and I'm like, ah, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait, I don't know if that was the right way to say it, but I'm like, okay, let me just write it all out. And I hit enter, and it's sent.
Like,
all right, I guess I'm committed to this idea now.
Hope I didn't offend you.
Like, it was all nice stuff, but it was just like, ah, son of a bitch.
Yeah, I got a text message that just said, that's fine. Just let me know if you're interested or not.
Did you reply no?
No, yes. I didn't respond at all.
Did you send the eggplant emoji?
No, and there's no follow-up, and I'm not going to do it because I don't want them to, I don't know.
A gif of, like, sizzling bacon or something? Come on, man.
I got a Facebook one.
Open Pandora's box.
1:30 in the morning this
it's
morning.
It's not like Pinhead's in there.
From Amanda saying, hi there, and then...
Amanda Hug and Kiss?
Yeah.
Amanda Stone.
Amanda Stone.
She says, are you open for paid advertising on your page? If yes, please get back to me. Thanks. I get these all the time.
Somebody sent one to me too.
I kind of want to take them up on it because I don't give an F about my Facebook page. I know it's a scam.
Yeah.
But like, whatever you, because they want your access to your account and then whatever.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that reminds me. I got a thing
but
from.
Yeah, I'll take whatever. 50 bucks a month. I don't care.
Oh, maybe I won't say the name of the station, but it was a guy I gave a ride. Uber Lyft, and then he works for a radio station, and then he hit me up on Messenger, was like, bro, yeah, I've been trying to get a hold of you because we do this thing called Listen and Ride or whatever.
That's the guy I keep telling you that wrote you.
That's the guy. Okay, so I've been talking to him.
Barnes.
So, yes.
That's the guy I keep
my
saying.
My man.
Like, I've been telling you, dude, this guy needs, he's been trying to get a hold of you.
So what it was.
Yeah, that's my homie.
Justin Barnes.
He's a great dude.
Oh, he's rad. I've been having a great dialogue with him, but his station
that
hit me up.
That is so funny.
And they wanted a W-9. They wanted my social security number and a picture of my photo ID for this prize check. And I was like, and I wrote a nice thing on my back. I'm like, hey, look, I'm just not super comfortable sending anyone my social security number and a picture of my photo ID.
Yeah.
And a W-9. I'm like,
it's kind of what happens here from time to time. Yeah.
Well, and
on
so
the big prizes.
She explained, like, look, it's how we, and I'm sure that they want a W-9 so they can write it off as a tax write off because it's a giveaway.
Did you win a big prize?
$100 through Justin. Justin hooked me up with basically $100.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, cool. Justin, love you, buddy. But, and sorry it took me so long. But, yeah, it was a weird thing. Like, he wasn't in an unread message, or sometimes it'll truncate messages that people have sent you that aren't your friends. Yeah. I didn't see any of that, but I was scrolling along, and it was, like, people you might know, and I was like, oh, dude, I know that guy, and it was, like, and I saw it wasn't invite, it was accept, and I'm like, oh, he tried to friend me. I hit accept. Boom. That's when I got the message, like, bro, I've been trying to get a hold of you.
Weird.
But, yeah, I talked to the girl. I'm like, look, I'll send you my business EIN on a W-9, and you can basically say that you paid against my business, and I'll send you my photo ID. I'm just not super comfortable. To me, it's like, I get it. And she explained why. She's like, as a radio station, we have to verify who you are, who you say you are, and all this thing. I'm like, I get it.
It's all on the up and up, but it is awkward to ask.
Yeah, I just
used to hate when I used to do price sheets, but I worked at the end, and they'd be like, can I have this? Can I have that? And the person's like, why the F do you need all this? I'm like, I just...
And I was real cool. I'm like, hey, thanks so much. It's one of those, like, I used to get it when I was still in retail. It's like, people wanted to sign up for, like, I used to sell cellular phones. They're like, why do you need my SSN? I'm like, because, you know, we're going to pull a credit. And I'd be like, here's my SSN.
Yeah.
So I get it. It's like we're signing you up for a service. We need to run your credit, et cetera. I was just surprised that they asked for all that and was kind of like, and I hit up Justin like, bro, I hit her back and was kind of like, sorry.
He's got a phone call.
But yeah, you guys, that's legit. Company. You guys have had to deal with that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's completely
makes
legit.
Me feel
over
better.
A certain amount of money. Well, I think all the time now we need a social security number for tax purposes and all that crap.
I'm going to send her my business W-9 and my photo ID.
Yeah.
And then I'll get my, which is, you know, I was very cool. I wasn't like, what the hell? I was like, yeah, I'm just a little taken aback.
No,
like,
it's super weird.
Yeah, my SSN so that
totally
you can get a
like,
check
hey,
for a prize.
It's like you won Judas Priest tickets. Give me your social security number.
Right. And in this day and age, I mean, I didn't want to be that guy, but I was like, hey, thank you
it's
so much.
Smart.
I'm super stoked, but.
No, it's smart. Yeah. Very smart to make sure.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks, guys.
Text message from Ryan from Stoic FB. I'm driving through the parking lot of Lake Stevens Shopping Center listening to my homies on the Migscast talk about how people stop when they don't need to at shopping center intersections. And guess what happens? Two people stop unnecessarily at the next two intersections I cross.
Rage.
You guys have cursed me. Much love. Keep up the great work. Dude, Ryan, that is the one thing
the
that pisses me
real,
off
bro.
More than, because, and I'm like, you're stupid. Just keep driving. At no point is there a stop sign.
Well, I, just the other night, I had to come to a stop because a guy that was a good 30, 40 yards over was barreling through the parking lot and I could just see, I'm like, he's not going to stop.
Right.
And so I came to a stop. And he blew in front of my wife and I, and he did the thing where he looked over, and then he quickly turned his head as if it was. It was kind of the body language of, I didn't see you, where it's like, dude, you could have just given me a wave. I stopped. I'm not mad. But yeah, if I hadn't stopped, he would have hit me. Because I'm all about getting where I'm going. I even do the same thing on my bike, because parking lots and grocery stores are dangerous. Mm-hmm. People are retarded. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of try to get to where the hell I'm going. I had a guy in a Prius almost nail me on my Harley. Almost ran me over.
Thought you would have took out.
Oh, dude, I brought the bike to a stop, and he stopped, and I looked at him like, I'm going to cave your skull in, and he gave me this gesture like, what? I stopped. At that point, I think I yelled something like, I'll skin you, and then I revved my bike about 8 times.
I'm going to kill you. Like,
hey, everyone, look at the a-hole, you know? But that's why I stop in parking lots in those places, because I'm about to be hit. Otherwise, right. I just keep
just
on
know,
going.
You just know it.
Yeah, you got to watch what's going on, because these people will back into you, run over you, blow right through and crash into you. Everyone's... Mm-hmm. You know,
it's everyone just, sucks at driving.
I don't want to be that just guy, everyone. But the bread's still going to be there when you get in the store, man.
No, it won't.
I know, everyone's in a rush to get a
parking spot.
Not
that good sourdough.
That's true. It's indigenous to Washington State.
I know. General Sal's in there with like a
My
spear
dad says
guarding
that
the sourdough.
Every time he sees an evergreen tree.
You know, these are indigenous to Washington State.
Yes.
Yeah, because they're all around.
We heard it 4 times this time, and he's done that before. Like, every time he visits, he makes it a point to let us know that those trees
are indigenous.
And he says it just like that.
These trees
These trees are indigenous to Washington State. Yes. You told me that yesterday. You told me that last time you visited here. You tell me that every time you see one of these trees.
You got to get out in front of these things. Hey, Dad, what's the story with these trees? Yeah. You got to flip it.
But he's also done that. Like, when we were in New Jersey, he dropped us off at the train station. We were going to go into the city.
He pointed a bomb. These are indigenous to New Jersey.
We were like going through. It was like Marlboro, New Jersey. And it had like a big sign. And it says, you know, founded in 1879 or something stupid, right? I see the sign. He sees it. 2 seconds, he goes, did you know that Marlboro was founded in 1879?
You got to be like, did you know the speed limit was 45?
I know, right?
You just got to play the game to win, Steve. You got to be one move ahead of your opponent.
See, I'd just be tapping out.
I'm buying him the art of war.
Yep. I just want peace and quiet. That's all I want, man.
Except I'm going to tape over the word war crudely with masking tape and just write dad on it.
The art of dad?
Yeah, was it Shen Tzu's The Art of Dad? Yeah. Just give it to Steve.
The art of dad.
All right, let's check out a voicemail.
I'm
Ziggy.
Here
we go.
Is that Ziggy?
What up, Steve? It's Ziggy.
I'm
here giving a certain special, and because you were asking a 14-month-old.
That's right. We were curious about his child and asked him to call in.
Gahan's is 14.
Their dinner. By the way, we've been working on seeing what makes a little guy laugh, and let's see if I can do it again, Steve.
Yeah, that was a fart.
Yeah, I thought so.
What?
Hey, hickory dickory dock. Oh, little Miss Muffet. And then guess what?
The child is audibly terrified.
Hey, I hope you as a New Yorker appreciate that.
That's cool. Tune in every Tuesday for Ziggy Traumatizes His Child.
Yeah, we got to hear Lil Kahan's voice.
Oh, yeah. That, Steve. And by the way, hey, Glenn, going back to what you were saying about, oh, come on, kid.
Enjoy your life choices, Ziggy.
The same. Yeah, we're actually listening to Zeppelin right now.
My man.
Damn it, man. You were right if you were right. About what you said about Zeppelin being loose. Anyway, no, we're doing great. I don't sleep anymore. he's extremely fussy. I hate you, Steve, because your kid sleeps. But I was so happy when I would hear, like, you play the clips of Lil Tatum, like, cooing and stuff. And it was very sweet.
Aw, Lil Tatum.
But, you know, if you want pictures, I'm kind of, you know, the whole new to the dad thing. I'm like, oh, this is cool. I don't know about this whole sect of other people that exist in this world. And it's like, I kind of like the whole fatherhood bond thing, you know, because it feels like you're part of a cool club and all that stuff. But anyway,
you need like a wave.
Glad to hear everything went well with the pregnancy, with the birth.
Yep.
Very happy that your little girl's all healthy and I love seeing the Instagram pictures. Anyway, you wanted me to call to hear me ramble. There you go. I'm going to get back to feeding my little
sounds
guy
like a beaten man.
His food.
He looks. He sounds a little tired.
Hickory dickory dock. Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet. Okay. Yeah, don't choke on your food. Anyway,
this rules.
Oh, tugboat. Anyway.
What is going on? We're already 2 minutes in. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. You see what happens, Rev, when you have children? You learn how to censor yourself.
Good job.
Anyway, that's all you guys. Hope to see y'all soon. It's the Friday you're having that 10 miles wide show right now, Glenn. Sorry to miss you, but I'll catch you some other time. Rock hard, ride free. Talk to you later, fellas. Bye.
Later, dude.
Always great hearing from Zinni.
Yeah,
that's
thanks
awesome.
For the call, man. Get some sleep.
He's tried
to get Luke some hands sleep. Sounds beautiful and healthy.
Let's check out another voicemail. 253-271-4787.
Oh, Steve, Ziggy. Anyway, one last quick thing. Check this out that I accidentally found that yes. He can do. Hey, check this out. Okay. Hey, buddy. Can you go, da-da? Yeah. Okay. Now see how that worked? Okay, now check this out. Now go, mama. Yeah. Go, da-da.
Mom.
No.
Mom.
Mama. Mama. Anyway, oh, God. He's got my phone.
Ziggy's an awesome guy.
He's got my phone.
Ziggy is winning at parenting.
He's doing a great job at parenting.
I knew he would, man.
Yes, it's perfect.
Great.
He's waving.
So are we, dude.
Bye, hands.
Yeah. Talk to you guys later.
Wait, I want to hear that one again. That was awesome.
Talk to you guys later. Hey, he's waving. But bye bye. I go, mama. Yeah. Talk to you guys later.
Mama, mama.
Let's do we got something from email, and it's themigscast@gmail.com. Please do an episode on shrooms someday.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
okay. That's from Trevor.
Oh,
you guys
man.
Rock. Keep up the good work, gentlemen. I mean, I'm not opposed.
I'm not opposed either, but we have to have a real.
Shrooms is oddly the only hallucinogenic I ever had a bad experience on.
Perfect.
Same. Let's do that.
I had an extraordinary. Oh, really?
Yeah, I had to lock myself in a laundry room for a couple hours.
Oh, I went out and drove about 30 miles.
Well, that's a bad idea.
It was all bad. Yeah. It was all bad. But it was terrifying trip.
I had enough peace of mind to say, I'm going to go into this laundry room and I'm going to cry for a couple hours.
So
don't worry about it.
So would you do acid instead?
I love acid.
I never had a bad experience on paper. Some of it was a little loaded with strychnine, so like my joints would ache.
We should microdose.
Yeah.
We'll do a microdose.
Oh,
cast.
They want us to do an episode. I thought they meant content. Do an episode on mushrooms.
No.
They want us to do a episode
while on mushrooms.
Huh.
Yeah, they want us on shrooms.
Huh. Let me think on that.
That seems a little troubling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And be careful when you quote-unquote try to microdose on acid.
Yeah.
Because there are some times where you think the dosage is one thing and it is clearly not.
Well, I could tell you one thing. It wasn't mushrooms or acid, but it was definitely, we were in another planet, and you could listen to the megacast that we did with Bert Kreischer. Just look it up, and you'll understand. We were drunk and really gone, and it was a rather entertaining episode that I truly don't remember any of the conversations.
Nice.
It also features a radio host from Cairo on there
regrettable?
As well. No.
The first time I stabbed somebody, it was weird. When I felt the knife pass through the meat, I was really like, man, people are just made out of meat.
Oh, we got to get running. I got my meeting to go to.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of meat.
One of the last things, guys, says, I need your help today. I'm assuming Steve survived his folks coming to town. You're reading this on the 4th. I'm flying to Vegas in a few days. Never been. Where do you recommend and what do you recommend I do? Ooh. Other than the M&M store and the Coca-Cola store, I'll be with my wife. So sadly, brothels are out of the question. I already tried that one. Thanks for all that you do from Alex. My number one recommendation would be any of those Cirque de Soleil.
Yeah.
The Beatles one is freaking awesome, and you could probably find a decent deal on that one.
Oscar's Steakhouse is fantastic. Pricey, and the special of lobster and steak, they just combine the prices, so just note that. But fantastic. Amazing steak.
Ride the roller coasters. If the NASCAR casino hasn't gone out of business, that roller coaster's bitching. The casino's terrible. It's a blight. It's a blight on the Sunset Strip. But the NASCAR casino right down by the Stratosphere, that roller coaster is bitching.
Okay, yeah.
That roller coaster is bitching, man.
I never did roller coasters there.
Oh, the New York one's killer.
That is terrifying. It will actually kill you.
Well, I didn't.
It's a wooden coaster on top of a casino hotel. It's terrifying.
If you have the intestinal fortitude, go to the top of the Stratosphere, the roof, which is surrounded
by
a chain link fence. It's really, and there's that thing that spits you up in the air. And you're so high in the air when that thing shoots you up in the air on the needle on top of the Stratosphere, you're looking down on the planes that are circling for Las Vegas Approach.
It's terrifying.
So if you want to do that, then go downstairs, and they have margaritas that are shaped like the Stratosphere that are, I don't know, at least 2.5 feet tall. Just get one of those after.
Yep.
And just suck that down. It'll make it all go away.
Nice. Let's do it. Let's go. We're going to Vegas, baby. All right. We got to get out of here. I got a meeting to jump into. Once again, reminder, on Saturday, if you're in the Bellingham area, come on out to 5CC Wrestling. Just type in 5CC Wrestling on your social media so you can get information. Also, if you watch NWA Power, the wrestling show, Zicky Dice is going to be wrestling at 5CC, and Zicky's killing it. Do yourself a favor. This guy is he's stuck in the 80s, and he's a magician slash wrestler slash lead singer of a great rock band called Heart to Heart.
Good God.
This guy is amazing.
Triple threat.
He's one of my favorite people, an incredible human, and a great wrestler, and you'll get to see him because he's going to be there. So whatever about me, you want to see Zicky Dice. He's that good. I'm pumped to finally meet him. He's like one of those guys I've been talking to on social media.
Yeah.
We've been buddies for like a year and a half, and we've never met. So it's going to be a bromance that begins
nice.
In Bellingham this Saturday night. Other than that, you got something going on?
Nah, just make your plans for March 13th at the Crocodile. That's my tour kickoff party, Friday, March 13th at the Croc. I'm going to be there with Jeff Rouse, who will probably have the new EP From the Gemini available at that show.
All right, check it out. See you later, Grit City Podcast from Rev.
Yeah!
And stay positive.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.